This episode is brought to you in part by the new MDiv from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The strongest MDiv just got stronger. Southern Seminary introduced a new Master of Divinity degree in order to train, educate, and prepare students for a lifetime of faithfulness with even greater effectiveness. The benefits to students are greater personalization, increased specialization, and the opportunity to earn more credentials in an efficient amount of time. MDiv students who attend classes on Southern's campus pay for only their first 9 hours each semester and take one or two additional courses for free. That reduces the cost of the Southern Seminary MDiv by thousands of dollars. Discover how you can benefit from the new Southern MDiv that is simplified, personalized, and incentivized at sbts.edu/newmdiv. Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. Our goal is to help Christians understand the truth of Romans 15:14, that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis Solomon.
And I'm Lakin Liu, your other host. Be sure to check out other resources from the BCC at biblicalcc.org.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of 1514. We are so excited to have you as part of our audience. This episode is in our Build 133 series, where we are encouraging biblical counselors to become BCC partners and then join a 133 network. A 133 network is named after Psalm 133, which begins, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." And we want to foster unity in the broader biblical counseling movement by creating relationships at the grassroots level. 133 networks meet regionally, where they gather people together who are practicing biblical counseling, living in a similar area, and gather together for encouragement, equipping, and engagement. We want you to be encouraged by the fellowship that you will experience and the prayers that you get to share with one another as biblical counselors who understand the trials, the difficulties, but also the joys that come with biblical counseling. We want you to be equipped by the conversations you have, the case studies that you review, the training that you will receive as the 133 networks gather together. And then we want you to be engaged, meaning you go back out equipped, encouraged, refreshed, and ready to continue the work of biblical counseling and inviting others to do the same. 133 networks meet regionally because we want people as much as possible meeting face-to-face so that they can build those relationships that will last into eternity. But we understand that there aren't 133 networks in every region, so we do offer some virtual 133 networks. If you are interested in joining a network, reach out to us. We'll connect you with a regional network, a 133 network that's in your region. Or if there isn't one, we'll talk to you about what it takes to establish a 133 network where you live. Today's episode, you'll hear the story of the Bluegrass Biblical Counseling Coalition, how it got started and what the blessings that have come through it. And one of the things that you'll hear from our guest, Tim Steck, is that they initially thought there wouldn't be very many people in the Central Kentucky region who are interested in biblical counseling. And one of the encouragements that they have all received as a team is how many people are in that area who are doing the work of biblical counseling, who are interested in knowing more about biblical counseling, and who through these networks as well as other avenues are getting trained and equipped to go out and do the work of biblical counseling. I hope that you are encouraged by the conversation we have today and that you'll reach out, become a BCC partner, and join a 133 network. Thanks for listening. Well, Tim Steck, thank you so much for being with us on 1514 today. Would you mind introducing yourself to our audience?
Curtis, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Tim Steck. I live in Danville, Kentucky, and attend Calvary Baptist Church. I've been counseling biblically, kind of officially, I'm using air quotes there, for about a year and a half now, but unofficially for just about 10 years. My wife encouraged me to attend seminary and become certified, and I told her I'm not going to do that circa 2017. Then I retired from my formal career in 2019, and I was in seminary 6 months later because my wife was right. That is where the Lord was calling me. And so she's another evidence of the grace of God in my life.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell us, give our audience a brief synopsis. What was your previous career? And then what is your current ministry context?
Sure. So I retired after 23 years in a federal law enforcement career. And for the last 10 or 11 years of that, I was on our agency peer support team, So I counsel people through critical incidents, line of duty deaths, natural disasters, things like that. So got a lot of one-on-one time in a secular context, just kind of learning how to meet people where they were. And that was super valuable. And I think God was preparing me for my next chapter the whole time. Obviously, he has a way of doing that. And so super blessed now to have started a ministry that I call 511 Biblical Counseling. I'm the best biblical counselor there because I'm the only one associated with the ministry at this point. So I do a lot of counseling online and in person. But I'm also a member of Calvary Baptist Church in Danville, Kentucky, where I serve as the chairman of the deacons. I'm a Sunday school teacher, a men's mentoring group leader, and also a youth mentor.
And 511, what's the significance of the name there?
It's from 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing.
Yeah, well, thank you for that and the work that you did in your previous career. And I know for a fact God was preparing you for the work that he has for you now. If people are interested in contacting you or checking out your ministry, where can they go to see that?
You can find me at 511services.org.
All right. Well, thank you. I know it's super helpful for our audience, either for them to know people they can refer somebody to if they have a wait list going on. But I've also found it really helpful for people who are thinking about doing something like that on their own to check out some other people who've done it already, see their website, stuff like that. So I really appreciate that. And I'm sure some of our audience members will check that out. Well, today we wanted to talk about a different aspect of ministry that you're really helping with, and it's in a series that we're doing highlighting different 133 networks. And the BCC, we've been encouraging people to develop networks of people in their area. We've decided to call them 133 networks after Psalm 133, where David is writing about the blessedness of gathering together and being united together. And you are part of a ministry called the Bluegrass BCC. Can you tell us what is the Bluegrass BCC?
Well, we started out in 2018 as a very loose group of friends and friends of friends and friends of acquaintances and acquaintances of friends that all had an interest in biblical counseling. And we just started meeting initially monthly, just as a source of encouragement for one another. And that kind of grew later into a much larger group over a period of time.
And what was the catalyst? What started the ministry? How did it get off the ground?
Yeah, I think as members, we had different catalysts. For me, for example, I was very new to biblical counseling at the time when we started. I'd attended some initial ACBC training, but I was really, really fresh. So my catalyst was just being able to learn from other more experienced counselors. We had several people in that group that had been counseling biblically for, well over 15 years, some over 20 years. And so I just saw the opportunity to get to sit with them and learn from them and to understand how they worked. And I think for them, as I spoke with them, the catalyst for them was just to be a source of encouragement to one another, but also to grow, kind of the biblical counseling recognition within the local church in central Kentucky.
Yeah. No, it's been a real delight. And I remember one of our mutual friends, Jimmy Carter, was really spearheaded some of that effort and was working a lot. Not unfortunately, because of his life circumstances, he had to step aside from that. Still love that brother. And it's definitely encouraging to see what the Lord's doing in and through him. And through his family. But we had this thing called the pandemic, right? kind of messed things up. But tell our audience kind of maybe how did it, what did it take to start? Like when Jimmy and Peggy and others were helping get it off the ground, what did that look like and how did it get started? And maybe how did it get reinvigorated post-pandemic?
Sure. So we started initially by meeting in Jeff and Peggy Parr's home in Lexington, Kentucky. And that looked like just, basic breakfast get together. Initially, Peggy and Jeff would provide the light meal or finger foods for breakfast. And over time, different people would bring refreshments. The first meeting, we sat around talking and tried to decide what our vision for this group would be. Mm. And what we initially landed on was just a group to encourage one another and a group to try to encourage other churches to be more involved with the biblical counseling movement in Central Kentucky. And so we did that monthly for a while. You know, the first meeting, what we decided to do was at future meetings, we would open with a devotion. Let me back up a little bit on that. We would open with a time of just catch up for the members of the group and prayer time. And then we would do a devotion. And usually we would go into a case study where we would, change names and certain facts so as not to break any confidentiality, but just go through a case together and talk about different ways or different approaches about how we would ask questions or what homework we might assign or what might be the root causes of problems. And that was a really helpful time because we talked about some really common problems in biblical counseling. Mm. And especially for a newcomer like me, that was very valuable. Over time, that morphed a little bit into having one of our members do a longer presentation on a particular topic. Like I know you came one time and did a PTS discussion for us. Mm-hmm. We've had the use of diagrams in biblical counseling. Our last meeting, Jonathan Bennett, who's associate pastor of Farmdale Baptist in Frankfort, spoke on the blessings of obedience, which was really, really helpful. So it kind of got a little more official over time into doing, 30 or 45 minute presentations. And we occasionally still do a case study, but those have been very valuable times as far as just equipping us and getting us to think outside of the box.
Yeah, and we've seen different groups pop up and have slightly different focuses or different structuring of how they do things. One thing that it varies from network to network is how open it is in attendance. Some groups want people there who are currently practicing biblical counseling primarily as an encouragement component. Other groups want to have it be more open to people who are just on the fringes or just checking it out, just learning kind of as with the hope of expanding. Where would you guys land on that, and kind of what's your reasoning there?
Sure. We have opened it up for anyone that's interested. We have we'll probably talk about it later, a public Facebook group where we do a lot of our communication. But we've opened it up for anyone that's interested because we do want to encourage the growth of biblical counseling in Central Kentucky. I think our last meeting we had about 15 people there. Mm. Two of those are just on the fringes being interested. They haven't even started any kind of formal certification or training process. They just heard about it from friends and wanted to learn more about it. So yeah, that's one of our goals, is to encourage more people to become involved in it.
Pardon me while I interrupt this episode for a special word from one of our sponsors. Are you passionate about biblical counseling and discipleship? Don't miss IBCD's annual Summer Institute Conference, June 20th through the 22nd, featuring inspiring speakers like Dr. Charles Hodges, Dave Harvey, Tim St. John, and yours truly. The pre-conference theme is Biblical Counseling in Modern Medicine, Considering the Role of Doctors, Medications, and Marijuana. The main conference theme is Life Together, Nurturing Relationships for Eternal Purposes. The event will be in sunny California at New Life Presbyterian Church in La Mesa. Can't attend in person? Get your virtual ticket with live-streamed and downloadable sessions included. Find the link to register at ibcd.org/events. Their mid-rate pricing ends April 30th, so hurry and snag this discount and others. See you there. No, that's great. So what benefits have you seen from the gathering of biblical counselors in Central Kentucky?
I think regular encouragement just from one another. There are times when suffering and sin can be pretty heavy. Mm. And we for sure have our local churches and contacts our local churches to bounce things off of and kind of debrief and decompress with. But it's nice to have somebody that's in the trenches as well, doing a similar counseling work, because oftentimes they've had similar experiences and can even provide you with some good advice on maybe next steps. So that's been a huge benefit. And kind of in the same regard is just learning from others. You know, I have my own counseling style. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not so good sometimes, but you know, as we talk through some of those case studies, I get to learn what kind of questions they ask and how they phrase their questions, for example, which has been really, really helpful. And then I think also sometimes we tend to be siloed in our denominations, and you know, that's good sometimes, but it can be bad. I think too, if we lose sight of the gospel, and if we're in agreement on the gospel, then you know, this group can help build bridges between denominations, so we're not so siloed. Does that kind of make sense?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's something we've seen, I know, nationally and probably internationally too. And one of the benefits of gathering together with brothers and sisters in Christ is we recognize you may be Presbyterian, I may be Baptist, you may be whatever, but we all love Jesus and want to help his people come to know him and grow to be more like him. So, yeah. For sure. So if somebody were, if you were talking to somebody and they were thinking about creating a 133 network or just something like what you guys are doing, what would you say to them if they were asking you, why should we do this?
I think one of the things that we found out was, you know, we started with a pretty small group, but we've had, you know, probably between 20 and 25 folks at some meetings. I think we realized that there were a lot more people interested in our area than we knew about. So I think that's been pretty encouraging. Because that was one of our goals, was to kind of develop more counselors in our area. So it's good to know that there were more people involved. I think we certainly found that out, and I hope that if those listening start a network too, hopefully they will find that out as well. And it just opens up a number of different resources you can refer people to, or a number of resources you can seek encouragement and wisdom from as well. And then I think for me, one of the biggest values has been the continuing education value of it. You know, I don't go to a meeting where I don't learn something. And just to give you an example, at our last meeting, when Jonathan was presenting on the blessings of obedience, I had a session scheduled for later that day, and I had been the prior night planning for that session. And I was going back and forth between two different ways, similar ways to direct the session if things went as I thought they might. But then Jonathan's presentation was a much better plan than I had come up with. And so I was able to tailor that to my counselee that afternoon and use it. So I found that I always learn something, and it keeps me from being one of the things in my previous career that really helped me learn and grow as a counselor was just sitting in on sessions with other counselors and seeing how they interacted with people, seeing the questions they asked, seeing, you know, just seeing that play out in the room with them. And I think being involved in a group like this keeps me from being set in my counseling ways, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
It helps me to grow. So I think that's another really important thing. And we talked just a second ago about the value of different denominations. I think that's another one too, is just, we have a really broad network in Central Kentucky. I think going down a list here, I think we have folks involved that attend churches in Lexington, Frankfort, Georgetown, Nicholasville, Danville, and Berea at this point.
Wow.
In our last meeting alone, we had folks from at least seven different churches. I think there may have been eight there. So it's really good to just see that network kind of start from that little meeting in Peggy and Jeff's kitchen in 2018 to grow to meeting, you know, in a church now. And by the way, we've had, I think we've met in four different churches. They seem to be really supportive of that. So that's been a blessing too, to have a free meeting space.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. We found some, I was talking to a gal before, and she was renting space for their group initially to meet. And then as it grew and got more churches involved, one church said, we're going to host this. But I've found a number of others that find a benefit, actually, of diversifying who hosts it. It can be a little bit more logistically challenging, saying, hey, remember, we're going to be at this place or this place. But I think it even highlights the collaboration and the connectivity when multiple churches are willing to say, hey, you can use our space, you can come here this Saturday and we'll feed you or whatever. So that's wonderful. And we're excited too, and we're still working out the details of connection and affiliation and all that stuff, but we're starting one in Louisville, and we want it to be the Louisville chapter of the Bluegrass BCC, because we want to ultimately see the whole state, the whole Commonwealth working together and growing. So that's wonderful. What concerns or doubts do you think people might have that would prevent them from starting something like this in their area?
I think one of the things was that I mentioned earlier was just the, as biblical counselors, we don't like to talk about fear, but the fear of not many people being interested. And we found just the opposite of that is, you know, I think even if you have a small group, like three or four, you're going to find a huge benefit from it, because that's three or four additional people that that you didn't know about before. So perhaps that. But then I also think sometimes potential costs can scare folks away. But we have found that to be just minimal. We maybe have a different person each time bring coffee or donuts, and we don't even require that. Somebody just does it occasionally. We paid $50 for a logo for a graphic design student. So we have a logo, but that was, a cost that our members were willing to front. So we found the cost to be minimal. And we found that the benefits far outweigh the minimal costs. Mm.
How much time? I mean, I know some people, they think maybe not about the financial cost, but the time commitment costs, especially for the person who's facilitating this. How much time do you think you or the rest of the team members spend each? Well, one, how often do you meet? And then how much time do you think it takes per month to coordinate that?
Sure. Well, we started meeting monthly in 2018, and we did that until just about the pandemic. And, of course, we took a break like just about everybody else during the pandemic, but then we started meeting quarterly afterwards. And so generally our meetings run from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., so about an hour and a half. And the responsibilities are a short devotion that somebody puts together. That time commitment, I would think, to put that together is, most of us have probably already have something in our back pocket ready to share at any time. So that's going to be a minimal time commitment. But the larger presentation may take a little bit more time to put together. And so that usually runs about 45 or 50 minutes. So just the prep time it would take to put together that 45 or 50 minute presentation, which for some of us, maybe an hour or two. For some of us, maybe a little longer. But we do rotate those responsibilities around so that there's one person responsible for the devotion every quarter, and there's one person responsible for the main presentation. So the time commitment is really minimal.
And then just a little bit of time to communicate with the team. And you mentioned you had a Facebook page. How else do you communicate? What else do you utilize to keep that communication going?
So among the board members, we have board members, a small group of about eight folks. We communicate on Signal, and that's kind of our behind the scenes communication with the core group of folks. Then we also advertise all of our meetings on our Facebook page, and we have an email list that, one of our founding members, Dan Oberg, who's an amazing biblical counselor here in Lexington, maintains, and he sends out email updates regularly.
And then with, you've shared a number of things that you've taught, you've learned from the meetings and some things that ways in which you've grown are there some other testimonies you might be able to share of people who've been blessed by participating with the Bluegrass BCC?
They're very similar to mine. What I heard when I asked our core group of people was just consistent encouragement and also a trusted network of counselors that you can refer people to. So, you know, we have a small group of eight of us, and I refer people to Peggy and Jeff all the time. They refer people to me all the time if I'm busy or I have more of an expertise in an area. So that's been really helpful too, just a network of referrals. And then just, I think the continuing education value, kind of the same things that I highlighted or the same things that I heard in the testimonies that I asked for from our others.
No, that's wonderful. Yeah, the encouragement. I think when we're talking about 133 networks and brainstorming, we kind of came up with three E's because at one, it sounds good to say three E's, but you know, encouragement, equipping, and then engagement. And that's, to me, the engagement is keeping us engaged in the work that we're doing, but also encouraging others to engage in the work of taking the gospel and God's word to hurting and people, hurting, suffering, people who need hope and help from God's word. So if people want to find out more about the Bluegrass BCC or you can share your website again and also point them to find out where they can find out about the Bluegrass BCC.
Sure. You can find us on Facebook. If you'll search on the Bluegrass Biblical Counseling Coalition, you'll see a logo with a blue and white checkered squares on there and an open Bible on one side. And we post regular updates about our meetings there. You know, our next meeting is going to be Friday, May 3rd at 9 a.m. at the Gospel Collective Church on Clay's Mill Road in Lexington. That'll last about an hour and a half. Love to see you there. Shoot us a message on Facebook. Ask to join. We'd love to have you as part of our group.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and for all you who are in Kentucky, want to check it out, be sure to make it to those meetings. The Louisville chapter will actually be having its first meeting March 23rd. That's this Saturday. So if you're listening to this, you got short notice to you actually will be late for it because this will be posted after that. But March 23rd.
Am I invited?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We may be over to see my daughter and new granddaughter, so we may stop by to see you.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah, we're going to be from 10 to 11:30 at Hurstbourne Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky is what we're going to be doing there, so we're excited about that. Well, Tim, I really appreciate what you've been doing and everything that you've shared and excited to see how the Lord's going to continue to grow this ministry. We're near the end of our conversation, and I save a segment at the end for a segment called 2-Minute Favorites. You ready for that?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. What is your favorite kind of food?
Mexican.
What is your favorite color?
Crimson.
Favorite sport?
Football, college football.
Favorite sports team?
Alabama, Roll Tide.
Favorite gift you've ever received?
Ooh. The first thing that pops into mind is my Red Ryder BB gun when I was 6, for some reason.
Favorite gift you've ever given?
Probably my wife's engagement ring.
What is your favorite word?
Frenetic.
What is your favorite book of the Bible?
Oh, that's so hard. I'm going to go with Romans.
All right. Favorite book outside of Scripture?
Knowing God by J.I. Packer.
Favorite candy?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. The Easter eggs are the best.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Chocolate.
Favorite Bible verse?
1 Corinthians 15:19. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied.
If you could choose any superpower, what superpower would you choose?
to have good knees again so I could play basketball.
Favorite animal?
Dog.
What's one interesting thing that you've done that most other people have not?
I'm thinking work-related, but that was so long ago. You stumped me, Curtis. I don't know.
All right. Well, I was hoping for a good federal law enforcement story, but that's all right. It's over 2 minutes, I'm sure. So, yeah. But it wraps up our 2 minute favorites and wraps up our time together. So, Tim Steck, thanks so much for being with us on 1514 today.
Thanks for having me, Curtis. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
And special thanks to our team who helped make this podcast possible. My assistant, Rebecca Mullins, helps coordinate these interviews, and our podcast engineer, Caleb Lau, does a great job editing and putting everything together. We look forward to you joining us next time.